will be preaching. And then Sunday night, another one of our missionaries will be proclaiming the Word of God and sharing. It'll be his first time sharing with our congregation. He ministers to Native Americans out in Nevada. And I met his wife years ago. She was bringing their daughter to a teen missions trip, and that's how we got connected with them and have been supporting them for a number of years. And they're in town for general counsel and a missions renewal that were back-to-back events, and the missions renewal is going on right now. So they're going to be with us Sunday night and sharing with us, and we're excited about that and hearing what God is doing through their ministry. So Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19 says this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So it begins here and talks about the treasures that are here on earth. Moth and rust destroy them, and thieves break in and steal. So the point I want to share with you today is this: don't steal from yourself. Don't steal from yourself. We've talked about do not steal from your neighbor. Do not steal honor from whom honor is due. Do not steal justice from those to whom justice is due. Do not steal from God. Do not rob from God. And today I want to share with you, do not steal from yourself. Don't steal from your employer, and don't steal for yourself. And the way that we have the potential of stealing from ourselves is by accumulating the wrong type of treasure. The wrong type of treasure. When my wife and I moved here, it's coming up on 30 years that we have been in Florida. We did not even know Melbourne, Florida existed. The company I worked for said, "We want to transfer you to Melbourne." And the only Melbourne I knew of was Australia. And I said, "Australia?" And they said, no, Melbourne, Florida. I didn't know the first thing about Melbourne, Florida. And it was the first time in my life that anyone had ever, in fact, it's the only time in my life that anyone has ever paid to move my belongings. Where we lived at in East Texas was way, way out in the sticks. And they sent a moving truck out there. We had it was not a fancy house. It was actually a mobile home that had been added onto. The owner had built an addition on the front and an addition on the back. And so it was like a triple wide mobile home. It was way more space than we needed for the size of our family at that time, but it was a lot of space. There was a barn. I mean, there was a field behind it. In fact, the land behind us, we had a dog at that point in time. And when we'd leave for the day, I would put the dog outside underneath a shade tree, make sure it had water, make sure it had food. And I had 100 feet of chain that we had for the dog. And I would come home and the dog would have wrapped itself around the tree so much that it could hardly get all four paws on the ground. And I'd unwind the dog, and the next day it would do almost the exact same thing. And it was like, wow, we just got a lot of space here. We were very thankful. The rent was very, very reasonable. I think we were only paying a couple of $100 a month, and it was great. We moved to Melbourne, Florida, and the rent was more than double for about half of the space, maybe even less than half of the space. And suddenly we found ourselves with an abundance of stuff and no place to put it. No place in the budget to go rent a storage unit or anything like that. And so I had sold items at a flea market out in Texas to help support my family. And while I was out there, I had developed this system. I'd built some saw horses and tables that I'd put together, and we used those tables that I used in the display booth to stack all of our extra stuff on, stuff that couldn't fit into the apartment, stuff that I really wanted to keep, but I had no place inside. And so we double tarped it. We covered it with two tarps, and we discovered that it rains an awful lot in Florida. And when I went to get into that stuff, I realized that it had molded, that some stuff that were really precious gifts to me from family members from when I moved to Chicago, that a lot of those things were now ruined. All the effort to move it, all of the effort to store it, all of the effort to keep it, to pay to ship it here, and it was suddenly worthless. And suddenly we had a lot more space on our back porch because we didn't have as much stuff out there because it had gotten ruined. It wasn't moth, it wasn't rust, it was just the elements. The stuff just could not withstand exposure to the elements in Florida. And those things that we thought were now treasure, I can't even name them to you because for about 29 years they've been residing in a landfill someplace because they got ruined. At one point in time, they were so dear to me that I went to extraordinary measures to keep them, and now I can't even remember them. And that is the way that earthly treasures are. If the elements do not have an effect on them, if deterioration doesn't set in, it says that there is another enemy to that, and that is that thieves can break in and steal. Thieves can break in and steal. And that's not good. If you've ever had anything stolen from you, it creates in you a sense of vulnerability. And places that have been robbed once tend to get robbed over and over again, and so you don't want to have that be repeated in your lives. But I want to show you that this earthly treasure that has the potential of being destroyed or the potential of being stolen is not the only type of treasure that there is. In verse number 20, Jesus says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." So I believe that we are oftentimes under the impression that everybody is going to have equal representation when it gets to heaven. You know, if you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life and he forgave you of your sins and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that it's all going to be a common flow. But I believe that Scripture teaches that there's some distinctions there. It's, you know, Paul talks about things that are built that are wood, hay, and stubble, that they are going to be tried by fire, and those things that are consumable are going to be lost. But that which was done in faith, that which was done in love, that which was done to the glory of God is going to be tried by fire, and it is going to come shining forth as gold and metal and precious stones. There's going to be recognized value in it, and there is reward that is there for us when we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Now, everything that is in heaven is done because Jesus enables us to do it. But it is also done because we responded in faith to the opportunity that Jesus made available to us. And so we need to elevate our vision and say, I am not going to let the here and the now deprive me of the eternal treasure that God wants me to have. Now, I am of the persuasion that it is not going to be the famous that are going to be near. I've known a lot of preachers. I happen to be one. And I will tell you that the people who impress me in the faith are not the celebrities and not the people who are necessarily up front, but they're those members who are flooding their prayer closets. They're the people who are faithful in evangelism and witnessing and inviting their neighbors and ministering to coworkers. Those I believe that there are people there who are unrecognized by name in the body of Christ, who are recognized and highly esteemed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not saying that that we preachers are going to be excluded. It's not about being more famous or less famous. It is about doing what God has called us to do with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we are not careful, the expediency and the immediate need that we face here will have the potential of stealing from us an eternal reward that God wants us to have. Don't steal eternal treasures from yourself. Okay? And I believe that sin does that. I believe that sin, that whenever we yield to temptation, that we end up paying a price that we don't really care to pay. And so I want to invest in things that are going to produce eternal reward. Don't steal from yourself. You may be extremely fatigued, but I want to encourage you, make the effort to be in the house of God. Make the effort to be on time, to be early, to prepare yourself, to seek His face, to get your praise ready to be offered up unto Him. You don't need to wait for the worship leader to get you pumped up by singing your favorite song before you start worshiping God. God is worthy to be praised, and everything that is done for the glory of God, the Bible says that we will in no way lose our reward. Okay? So we cannot afford to lose, to have stolen from us eternal treasure that is not only going to impact eternity, but the things that we do for God here and now are going to have an exponential effect. They're not only going to affect one, they're going to affect another, which is going to affect another, which is going to affect another, and it just continues to build. It just continues to build. Someone had described a number of people who were impacted, which ended up leading to Billy Graham being so effectively used for the kingdom of God. I believe it was D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday, and I forget. It seems like there was one more that was in there. And if you traced all of that lineage back, I don't remember right now off the top of my head who it was, but it was somebody. If I told you his name, you wouldn't remember it unless you had heard the story. And yet, because he was faithful, millions and millions and millions of people were touched and are still being touched and impacted for the glory. Do you know, I still share Billy Graham testimonies. I still share D.L. Moody testimonies of things that they said, things that they did that impacted people in a powerful way. You and I, we've got to realize that this platform that we have been given called life is all about setting the stage for eternity. Setting the stage for eternity. And so when I was studying on what does the Bible, I'll tell you how the success message came about. I had studied I'd studied about it years and years ago, and I'd preached on it then. But when I went to Fiji late last year, early this year, there was a person after the conference was over. He came, he sat down beside me. He was one of the lead assistants that was help putting everything on. And he sat down and he says, "Pastor, tell me what is success?" And he turned on his voice recorder to begin to listen. And then the person that I traveled with, he came back over to the table. He had been talking to some other folks, and he asked him the same question. And it was like, okay, this person is looking for success. And many people think that success looks like what you ate for dinner last night. Believe it or not, I know people that, wow, success is getting to have a steak dinner. Well, that's not success. Some people think that having success is what type of clothes you wear, what type of car you drive, what kind of house you live in. Isn't it amazing how we have transformed from just a place of shelter to now it is a status statement, the house that we live in. And I will tell you, the bigger the house, the more the maintenance. I can tell you that for a fact right now. There was a person that told me one time that their dad used to have a statement, and it went like this. If somebody had really upset him, he said, I pray that God blesses you with your own house someday, because there is maintenance that goes with that, and it comes at a price and stuff like that. But my wife and I were thankful to own that house that we own. And so I decided that, you know what, let's go not to the dictionary to see how the dictionary defines success, but let's go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say about success. And one of the things that I did not get to share with our congregation is this, is it talks about a person who succeeded another person, and he came and he reset the stage. That was really what was going on. There was a transition from one ruler to another ruler, and that concept of succession wasn't just the next in line. That was, okay, let's set the stage. Maybe you have spent your entire life fixated on the things of life. Maybe it's cars and clothes and houses and jobs and boats and other toys, computers, and game systems, and you name it, and people collect it. But today, you say, you know what? There's been a change of ruler in my life, and it's going to be Jesus has the dominion from here on out, and we're going to set the stage to where we are not fixated on just the things that we see and hear and deal with in the here and now, but instead, we are going to store up for ourselves eternal treasures where thieves do not have the ability to steal. The heaven is a theft-free zone. Heaven is a theft-free zone. Now, it goes on and it tells us why. Jesus tells us why we need to focus on storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And it is not just about that it is the inability to have it decay or be destroyed or be stolen. It has to do with our heart. Verse number 21 says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, I want you to see, it doesn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be. It is the things that you treasure. Your heart is not the leading indicator. Your heart is the trailing indicator. It's the person, it's the you that gets dragged. It's that part of you that there's going to be an attachment to. And I will tell you, if you get attached to something, it owns you. It owns you. And so that's why you see people devastated when when they lose something is because if there's an emotional attachment to it. Because you can take a person who lost the same thing. I remember when we moved into our house in 1999, there was a massive hurricane that was building up at the point in time where we were supposed to close on our house, and the mortgage company said, "We're not closing. There's a monster storm. Florida might not even be there by the time this thing gets done." And so they postponed our closing, and really impacted our that next month, really impacted our life. And so they set a closing date, and we closed on a Monday. We closed on a Monday. On Friday, a tropical system blew through. And I remember praying. We were four days into owning our house. And I prayed this: "God, you have made it possible after 7 years of pastoring at Merit Assembly of God to be able to own our own house. And if this storm comes through, we're insured, but if this storm comes through and wipes it all away, you must have something better for us in store." That was literally what our attitude was. We didn't have any place to go or anything like that, but we knew that we were doing God's will. The God wants our heart in heaven, and he wants us storing up our treasure there. I pray that Jesus is the treasure of your life. He is the pearl of great price that you and I, we should be willing to walk away from all of the trappings of the world to say, "Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. He's worth more than everything else this world has to offer combined." And you know what? He thinks the same thing about you and the same thing about me. He willingly laid aside all the glory of heaven and came down and took on the form of a servant, set aside all of the praise and the worship that he was rightly due and accustomed to receiving, and he gave himself on the cross to pay for your sin and my sin, because he says, I don't want to go through eternity without you having the opportunity to have your sins forgiven and your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life." Listen, things that were brand new and shiny and glitzy, and I mean, you just had to have. I can remember when I had to have an 8-track player in my car. I can remember when you had to have a cassette deck in your car. I can remember where if you had reached it and you were successful, you had a cell phone in your center console of your car. I can remember, you know, people having multiple CD players that would sit underneath the driver's seat, and all of those were status symbols. And you know what? Technology changed, and that which a person could not live without, suddenly they found themselves in a place of treasuring something that was now obsolete. And nobody treasured it anymore. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the treasure worth living for. Do not steal from yourself. Do not be so fixated on the things this world has to offer, whether it's drugs or alcohol or fame or money or power or influence. Do not be addicted to any of that stuff, because it's designed to steal from you the real treasure, and that is an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't miss heaven for the world. It's just not worth it. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We're going to catch you here tomorrow, right here on WMIE. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand. I don't want to be standing on the side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come and let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. To you, oh Lord, I surrender to you.